What's up, everybody? This is Jordan Rossler and Derek Ambrosen from the Dynasty Builders Podcast, part of the DLF family of podcasts.
Each week, we use film analysis, rookie breakdowns, ADP, analytic tools,
and a dose of humor
to ensure that you get actionable and practical advice from each and every episode to help you build a dynasty.
Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me saying got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church, but I'ma keep tapping return. I win if I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges. I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winners to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict. I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict.
Russell Rocky.
Other names. Trade Addicts Pod. Let's go.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to session 156 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts, also a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network. Wait, hold on. The DAP Network, if you will. And I just did. I am a company man right now. If you are not a patron, by the way, patreon.com/TradeAddictsPod, you can watch the live stream of me wearing my DLF shirt and my DAP Network hoodie, though it is boiling in this basement. So it's gonna come off, you guys. But I just like playing with sleeves. But more importantly, freaking Stompy's here, everybody. I miss this man's face. I miss this man's voice. I am so glad he's here. How the gosh darn are you doing, Stompy?
The gosh darn. I am doing well. Well, better, I guess. I shouldn't say well because I'm still just dealing with work and stuff.
Default answer, right? Yeah, I'm fine.
But yeah, I mean, obviously I'm better. I'm back into fantasy football. Started spending way too much money on some stuff, so.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that in a little bit. Don't worry. Well, I mean, let's screw it. Let's just jump into this because we had, weirdly, two openings in Trade Addicts leagues, like completely like a week apart. I think it was like a day apart, actually.
Yeah,
close to each other, where we had it's always sad when someone leaves, but both Trade Addicts 8 and Trade Addicts 9, we had people leave, but new blood, that, you know, sharks smelling that blood in the water, you know, trades happen, right? And so TA 8 and 9 blew up a little bit. So we have a lot of trades. We got a bunch of listener questions, and let's face it, it is literally 1 week before the draft, so nothing good's happening right now anyway, so it's not like we have any real news. We're not going to sit here and do a mock draft. That means absolutely nothing, even though I'm doing like eight of them otherwise. But you know, we're not going to do that on this show, at least. So all right, hold on, where do I put my, there you go, there's my Google Sheets. Main event. Yeah, Rocky is gonna have to yell at me next week.
We'll get to that.
So, Stompy, which do you want to do first? Do you want to do some trades or do you want to do some listener questions first?
I'm all for whatever, man. Just don't care. Let's go for it.
Look how good this guy's doing. He's easy breezy. He's cover girl right now. That's what he is. Yeah. All right. So we're gonna do Trade Addicts trades just because, hell, this is the Trade Addicts podcast, right?
And we got a lot of them.
We do. And hopefully some of them are good ones. I don't even remember anymore. It's been a while. And it's funny because today is Thursday, which is still super weird just because I had a migraine on Monday. We were supposed to record Tuesday. That fell through. Jerky Jerk over here has his own podcast that he had to record on Wednesday. Yeah, I'm talking about Rocky. Junkie's coming soon. and today's Thursday. So I even cut off. I didn't grab any new trades from that Monday, A, because we have a lot now, B, because we need something to talk about in 4 days. But let's get on task, on vision with what we're doing right now. Trade Addicts leagues, 12 team super flex PPR tight end premium, 1.75 points per tight end reception. with 0.05 points for return yardage because there are no TA1 trades. But we have a couple of TA3 trades. Let's jump into this first one. AJ Dillon, the 109, the 302, four, Kenny Galladay, Zach Moss, and the 212. So first, Stompy, tell me what you think of this trade, and then I have a question. I have a few questions about this trade afterwards, but specifically this trade, how do you feel about it?
I mean, Kenny Galladay is probably worth AJ Dillon and the 109 by himself, right?
That's going to be one of my questions. Is he like what?
Okay, so let's just try getting the 109 for Kenny Galladay.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. What pick would you go straight for Kenny Galladay right now? And more importantly, after the re-signing of, we're weeks, almost probably a month after the, maybe more than a month, after the re-signing of Aaron Jones, what is AJ Dillon worth right now? I mean, let's start with that. Okay, what pick right now in a Superflex tight end premium league would you give up for AJ Dillon? Would you give up a first?
No.
Would you give up the 201 to the 204?
I wouldn't.
Probably not.
Yep, me neither. Okay, so 205 to 208?
Yeah, I think that's probably the zone I'm in.
Yep, I think that's
pretty where I'm in it too. Yep.
Okay, so let's go back to the other side. Kenny Galladay. So you think Kenny Galladay is worth at least the 109?
All right, so in Superflex, I would say he's probably worth the 103, to be honest.
Wow. Okay. So, let's go down to Superflex rookie draft right now.
Okay.
Clearly not Lawrence. Is Fields your two?
Yeah.
So not Fields. So you would take Kenny Galladay, wide receiver one for the New York Giants, over Mac Jones, yep. Trey Lance.
Yep.
Wow, I'm blanking. Zach Wilson and... Yep. No, wait, that's it, right? Yeah.
So I guess, can you look me in the eye and tell me that any of those three are going to be better than, let's say, Andy Dalton in their careers? Can you look me in the eye and say they are going to be better than that?
The only reason I say, okay, so here's the thing. Mine's out of order. I agree that Lawrence and Fields are my one and two. I freaking love Trey Lance. I love the idea of Trey Lance. Of course, landing spot's going to matter a lot. And I kind of hope he goes to, like, Denver or Atlanta where he can sit a little bit. Because to me, he has, like, Josh Allen right now ceiling. And that's, like, huge. I don't think Mac Jones has much of a ceiling. I took John Bosch's and... Jake Anderson, I almost forgot his name, you know, because he just doesn't exist anymore after leaving the Crossroads DLF Family Podcast. Woo, woo. We're running the mocks or whatever the hell they call it, where they find a mock draft that someone does for the NFL mock, and then we do a Superflex rookie mock based off of it. I took Mac Jones at the 107, and my description of why I did it was, this is a game manager walking onto it because he was drafted by San Francisco in this mock draft. This is a game manager walking onto a team built full of guys who get yards after the catch, which means he's going to luck into a lot of points. And I'm here to scoop them up. I just think purely based on the fact that he can be QB 12 to 15, probably on a good season, that I would probably take him over Galladay.
And I get what Stumpy's saying, that we don't know what those guys are going to be, but their value is going to probably be more than Andy Dalton's ever was for at least a year.
Man, that one year where Andy Dalton was like QB3, man.
Yeah.
Like, I held on to that real tight.
Even then, I don't think anybody wanted Andy Dalton. But
no, I'm holding on to it now because he's, you know, throwing the ball to Allen Robinson. Okay, so you are telling me Kenny Galladay over Ja'Marr Chase?
Yeah.
See, the thing
again,
is,
again, can you, like...
And I'm the non-ages guy, and I still can't get on board with that.
Can you guarantee me anything?
Can you guarantee me that Galladay in a new system, in a new state, coming off of a year's worth of injury, is going to be able to do what he was before?
Yeah. I would feel far better with him than anybody in the draft, except for Lawrence and Fields right now, because he is on a team with a guy who can throw deep passes, who's going to get 120 plus targets, and his yards per catch is going to be like 17, and he's going to get touched. Like, he is the alpha on the Giants. Mm-hmm. And we have seen what he can do when he's healthy. I just don't. Why would you want a borderline? Why would you want a question mark? And yes, you can be whatever sure about whomever you want. Whereas I have seen it from Kenny Golladay, and he is paired with a QB like Stafford, who is going to throw the ball deep and especially into 50-50 situations where Golladay wins. If we're talking about injuries, and by the way, there's no such thing as injury prone. We've had four different PTs say that.
No, I that was not brought up. I was just trying
to. You said after a year of injuries.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying.
Shouldn't have to do with anything.
He's a 28-year-old wide receiver that might take half a season to get back into his stride.
No. He's the wide receiver one on a team that's about to explode this year.
You don't know how good his foot, at this point, I'm just arguing for the sake of arguing. You don't know how good his foot is. Was it his foot that he hurt? It was something. His lower body better? I don't know.
He's fine. The Giants would not have given him.
Yeah, I know
the contract that they did. And however you want to, whatever you want to say about Gettleman, fine. But they would not have given him the contract that they did if they weren't sure about his health.
No, again, like,
he is entering. I mean, he's in his prime.
Absolutely, 100%. I agree with most of what you're saying. It's just I don't put that. I don't think you. Okay, let's say I don't even think you need to put that value on him, regardless of what you think it actually is.
No, but. And so I think one of the things right now in fantasy and just football Twitter in general is we are so hyped for the draft that the rookies form this wall that you just cannot break through. There's just this wall where it's like, how dare you say that Kenny Golladay is going to be better than Ja'Marr Chase? And I'm like, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that I feel better about Kenny Golladay right now where he's at than I do about Ja'Marr Chase. And by the way, I've always had a rule. I don't draft rookie wide receivers until they're of value because they don't hit in year one.
Hey, they don't.
It doesn't happen. Or despite what we saw from Justin Jefferson or Claypool, it's just rare for this for wide receivers to hit. And that's why you buy guys like Paris Campbell's a year three breakout, but like year two guys who maybe didn't hit last year. Jalen Reagor, Jerry Jeudy is another one that like you should be buying because they had a disappointing season. But and this is the same thing with like Kyle Pitts, by the way. And I'll finish one thought and then go into the other. So, yeah, I mean, wide receivers, like, you're not guaranteed they're going to hit in year one. And in the case of, like, N'Keal Harry lost all value after year one. And I know there, like, you can't put Ja'Marr Chase in that kind of box where it's like he could do this because that wasn't, I think, a mitigating circumstance just because of injuries and the team that he was on. But the point still stands is why year one wide receivers generally don't hit. And usually you can get them for value later.
To the point of loss of value, though, you're not worried Golladay loses value as a 28-year-old who's playing with a lesser quarterback?
Whether it's value or not, I guess my thing is, yes, if we're going to look at it like this, looking at value, I don't have to trade whatever. I could try and trade a late-round pick or a late-round first for Kenny Golladay, and it'd probably be pretty easy. I understand that. I am saying that to me, Golladay should have a 1.03 value. And if I have Golladay him on my teams, I'm not giving him up for less than that.
All right, I got to get you into TA7 so I can sell you Kenny Golladay on my completely rebuilding team. Okay.
My thing is he's that guy. He's that X wide receiver that we haven't really seen in a while. Because we've seen these smaller receivers kind of take over the NFL, mm-hmm. but he is kind of that rare X wide receiver that is can score double-digit touchdowns and get yards in bunches. And that's just extremely valuable, I think, in the NFL right now. Maybe they're not the PPR monsters, but in like half PPR and but they're still going to end up scoring a ton. Mm-hmm. They're still going to get 70 catches for 1,200 yards and 10 touchdowns, and you're still a top 12 wide receiver. So I think that's how people need to look at it, is what is the ceiling of these players? Because you can't tell me Ja'Marr Chase's ceiling is Hall of Fame, right?
I mean, I could tell you that, but I have absolutely no backing to it whatsoever.
Yeah, and there's player comparisons out there that he's like Sterling Shepard. Sterling Shepard's had an okay career, but he's not better than Kenny Golladay, is he?
No.
So I think that's my point, is Kenny Golladay, I think, is an elite wide receiver. He just needs to stay healthy, but he's already
proven. Real quick, everybody say hi to Nick Martinez. Hi, bye, Nick.
Hi, bye, Nick.
Bye, Nick. I don't know which Nick Martinez that is, but.
Whatever. It doesn't matter. You're talking to all of them.
So, yeah, I mean, so that's what, like, I know that, and I think that's what you should look at in terms of trades, like how you value a player versus how somebody else values a player. I think Kenny Golladay is probably worth the 1.03 this year's draft. I know that I don't have to pay that, and I know I'm not in love with the depth of this draft, so me trading a back end first for Kenny Golladay seems like a no-brainer.
Okay, so yes, I agree with, you know, like 90% of what you said, in which case I'm going to go buy some Kenny Golladay or feel better about the many shares I already have. I do think I'm like the middle point. Like, I think he's worth more than the 109, right, just not quite the 103. But let's bring it back a little bit to this trade itself. So clearly you're on the Kenny Golladay side then. If you think Golladay is worth the 103, that just completely overshadows the other side. And we went over A.J. Dillon's value. So how do you feel about this one, Rocky?
Yeah, I think Golladay is going for about 109, whatever he's worth. And I can't – like I said, I've had trouble getting a late first for him in a couple different leagues. In TA3 and another league I'm in, I was trying to sell him, and I couldn't for a late first. The 302 and 212 are basically the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I – probably prefer AJ Dillon over Zach Moss, but I think I would go with the Golladay side just because that's the best piece in this whole trade.
Is by the Golladay. Way, Zach Moss is basically AJ Dillon at this point.
Yeah, so it's pretty even trade, but Kenny, you know, and I'm generally looking at it through a win now lens, so I would take Kenny Golladay because he's, like I said, all the other pieces are pretty ancillary except for the 109, and as Stompy pointed out, who knows what the 109 is going to be. It's going to be a rookie. Who knows if he's going to hit.
And here's the thing about this year's draft is, I would trade like 112 for Kenny Golladay or whatever, 109 for Kenny Golladay. There are some later round guys, like back into the first, early second, that I think could be more valuable than some of the early guys.
We are doing a draft right now in the Dynasty Awesome Sauce with my homies, as Casey won the league and got to name it. And you know, we do the draft before the NFL draft, and we're at like the end of the second at the time, and I'm just like, I like a lot of the guys that are on the board right now. Now it's a little weird because it's before the draft, and it's also before MFL got to get any ADP in any order. So you miss a couple of, like, Tylan Wallace fell to like the 212 or something because he just got passed over because people were scrolling and looking for things and W's on the bottom of the alphabet. So, I mean, there are some weird things like that, but still, there's a lot of guys at the end of the second that I just decided I really like. So, and I didn't think that was going to happen this year. For the longest time, I was like, first round, and I don't really care about a few picks into the second. Like, after the 204, I'm done. Now I think it's like I'm good to like the 112, 201. Give me like an 8-pick rest, and then I'll start up again. So, yeah, I think I'm on your side. And to bring it back to this trade, I think you're talking at this point, like, let's just break it down to Kenny Golladay and the 109. To me, are the only two pieces that really matter.
Yeah,
I would take Kenny Golladay over the 109 because while I love Rashad Bateman, and maybe if I saw, like, maybe if this was 2 weeks from now and we saw where Javonte Williams landed, maybe that would sway my decision a little bit. But like, it would have to be a pretty, like, if the running back three landed in Miami and he was left on the draft board. Like, it would have to be super specific, meaning I wouldn't do it now, in which case I'm going to stick with the Galladay side.
But even then, though, is like, it, in that specific scenario, you still have Miles Gaskin there, who was good last year for the Dolphins.
It's good. Good running backs are still replaced every year.
No, I understand, but I'm not. I'm just saying that, like, it's not like a home run landing spot. Clyde Edwards-Helaire thought it was a home run landing spot, and Ray GQ, our friend Ray GQ, he was even hyping Helaire, CEH, to Kansas City last year, and he admits this year he should not have put he should not have placed him ahead of like Jonathan Taylor.
Oh, well, yes, I agree with that.
Because of landing spot. I think yes. you just got to be careful. It's like maybe they bring him in and Miles Gaskins outplays him in to start. I don't know. So it's just Kenny Galladay to me is far more sure. And I think we've backed off a little bit of changing the wide receiver changing teams narrative, because it's just there's not enough data to prove it. There's some players have done worse than others when they change teams as a wide receiver, but some have also done better because they've landed in a better spot. So
yeah, just, good players play well if they're on Kenny Galladay, they play better.
Kenny Galladay is a guarantee if he is healthy to produce significant fantasy points.
Okay.
Correct?
Yes.
Wow. I think that anybody that's been being taken in the late first, probably not. You can't guarantee that, especially in year one. And largely because I think mostly wide receivers are going right there.
Yes. You're going to get lucked into Javonte Williams or overpay. You're going to pull the Keyshawn Vaughn and overpay for like Michael Gainwell or something. But other than that, it's Bateman, Rashad Moore, Rondale Moore, Rashad Bateman.
And I guess for me, like, that's why I like some of the guys in the early second. Like, I love Kylan Hill. He's kind of my flag this year.
I got Kylan Hill at the 308.
I was just going to say, I don't think he's even going to be in the early second. Yeah.
Well, I'll take him there because I just don't like players there. Pat Freiermuth is another one where it's just like, if Kyle Pitts was not in this draft, Pat Freiermuth would be kind of the hype at tight end right now.
Over Brevin Jordan?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's just, as I've grown more and more in the dynasty, I guess as a dynasty fantasy football player, it's the only players worth trading for or worth drafting to me are QBs in super flex and running backs in all leagues.
Yeah, I can't.
Everything else I would rather trade for.
100% bias. I just love
wide receivers. Take like shots later on. Like, I would take a shot on like Nico Collins in the third because I feel like his athleticism outweighs his productivity.
Yes.
Or what his productivity was in college. And like taking shots like that, I'm perfectly fine with. It's the Rondale Moore's, the Devin Smith's that I'm like, okay, these guys were elite in college. We've seen wide receivers flop year one constantly. So I would rather take swings at tight end and wide receiver later and get the sure things in QB and running back.
And especially with wide receivers so saturated already in the league, like I forget that was before the show or since we started recording, but I remember you saying that earlier. And there's just so many already. It's just like,
well, and let's look at like how wide receiver evolves right now. I mean,
well, there's three wide receiver sets probably base around the league.
Yeah, but I'm talking about just like who you're interested in year two. I mean, this year, obviously, we know about Jefferson. We know about Claypool. I just had a brain fart on all the other successful year one wide receivers. Help me. CeeDee Lamb. But like the guys that I'm hyped about, again. It's fine. LaVisca Chenault.
Yes.
who else? Jerry Jeudy, who is kind of fallen behind the top three.
If on a normal year, if we did not have Justin Jefferson and CeeDee Lamb, I think Jeudy would still have been seen as a good rookie year. It's just that we had history made with Justin Jefferson, that it got pushed away, that Jeudy had, 600 yards, 4 touchdowns? Like, he had a decent year. And again, from a wide receiver year one, that's good. Like, that's what you want.
But he had drops. I think people are a little down on him because of the drops. And because of the QB situation. And yes, I get it. Shut up. I love Drew Lock. Okay, but I would rather they draft Justin Fields.
Yes, obviously.
But yes, I mean, and those are and you do have to take that into consideration. But him coming in as like now he's going to be the wide receiver too with a hopefully healthy Cortland Sutton.
Oh, please
won't be
please.
Drawing those wideers those cornerback ones.
Yes, please
and,
let it
and
happen.
If you're and if you get his drop issues, which he didn't have drop issues in college, so I don't know what the issue was last year. Maybe it's just his catchable target rate. That makes sense. Way to go, Drew Lock. But you get the idea. Is like these are the guys that I'm more hyped about than CeeDee, Justin Jefferson, etc. Because those guys have already. I mean, tell me how Justin Jefferson is going to do better than he this year than he did last year. Like, tell me how he's going to do that. That's why like I would rather trade for second year wide receivers because I feel like the value of those second year wide receivers is a lot better, especially the ones that don't hit, obviously, is so much better, especially because year two is usually the year or is the year that the most wide receivers break out, followed by year three. So you're getting in on kind of a 2-year period there where you can have them on their bench and they can be your wide receiver 5-6 and all of a sudden they hit and you now have a wide receiver 2-3. It just makes more sense to me to trade for wide receivers and tight ends and draft running backs and QBs.
Real quick before we move on to the next trade, what Stompy would you pay for Laviska Shenault right now?
I would probably play a back end first. Yeah.
Okay. I sent the 201 and it turned eyes on both sides of it, which made me think that it was probably like the right price. You know, someone's like, oh, I thought I offered him a first and he put it down, or man, wow, you paid the 201. I was like, yes. All right. I guess it was the right price. So I felt good about it. He drafted Terrace Marshall. I feel better about Visca over Terrace Marshall anyway. So
yeah. And I feel better about guys that will be used as. They want to get the ball in their hands as much as possible.
Yes, manufactured
touches, right? I mean, it's like, and I expect that from Urban Meyer and that coaching staff to get the ball in Laviska Shenault's hands because we saw what he was in his junior year, or was it his sophomore season when he just went bananas?
Well, even towards the end of the year, this year, he was getting the ball and he was looking good.
Now you get an elite quarterback prospect coming in. Yep. And you have good talent around you. I mean, DJ Chark is still there. They just signed John Brown. So you have speed all over the place.
Didn't John Brown go to Raiders?
Oh, that's right. Marvin Jones. That's right. Sorry. So you have two outside receivers that are going to take away safety help and leave the middle of the field open. And that's where Laviska is going to eat.
And then they're going to draft Freiermuth or Brevin Jordan and call it a day.
Hey, don't you dare sleep on Josh Oliver.
At this point, I'd be sad if it happens because I probably dropped all my shares at this point.
Okay. He's on the Ravens now. Ooh, I was just gonna say that.
I thought he got traded. I was double checking to make sure.
I forgot about that. Is it Tyler Eifert still there? Maybe I don't remember anymore.
I don't think so. I don't think he's anywhere right now.
Oh, well,
maybe they'll go try and trade up and get Pitts and.
Oh God!
How wild would that be? That would be a hell of an offense.
But think about the amount of tickets they would sell, and that's really all Jacksonville really cares about anyway.
Right now because they need to start selling tickets so they can sign players.
Yeah. Okay, so let's move on to an actual trade. The 103 and 205 for Chase Claypool. The 111, 203. and 210.
Sorry, say it again.
Okay, so let's put it this way. The 203 and the 210 for the 205, to me, just kind of wipes out. So the 103 for Chase Claypool and the 111.
I like that for Claypool and the 111, I think.
Yeah, it really comes – like, I think so much of this is – this entire draft, the way you value these picks is going to come down to how your league values these quarterbacks outside of Trevor Lawrence and – I keep saying Justin Fields because he's always been my two forever. But, you know, so Lance, Jones, and Wilson, like, I really think, like, there's a chance – there's absolutely going to be leagues where the five QBs go one through five. And I also think there is a 100% chance at least one of these QBs goes in the second in a lot of drafts. So, like, the value of the 103 or and what it holds and what you can get later in drafts is so weird right now. That honestly, I would probably trade back every single time I can. So and especially for Chase Claypool.
Here's a funny anecdote I have because I was almost in this exact same scenario, this exact same trade 2 years ago. I was offered, or no, it was 3 years ago. I had the 102, and I was offered Juju Smith-Schuster and the 111, I think. And I took it. So 102 ended up being Darius Geist that year.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, look what happened. Juju blew up. I was able to trade Juju away for a lot. I think 111 ended up being, I would have to look back. It's
AJ Brown.
No, I think it might've been Kamara, honestly.
No, that's the wrong direction.
Oh, no, that was the year before. I can't remember, but regardless, won that trade.
But he was around, so, he was drafted around that pick somewhere. Okay.
So yeah, that's I guess that's my point is like, okay, we've seen Claypool like break out, so we know he's a legitimate wide receiver. Mm-hmm. 111, you can probably get a decent running back, or you can trade that for a decent running back.
Kenny Golladay.
Or Kenny Golladay. And there you go. You win. So it's just I get it because of the QBs. Yes. But I would rather have the guys that have put up numbers, mm-hmm, and take a swing on a guy later. And I don't think it's that much of a drop off from 103 to 111 in this class, if I'm being honest.
No, and the thing is, like, it goes back to what I said. We know who the top 12 players are. I feel like that's almost consensus at this point. What order those 12 guys go is going to be different in every single rookie draft. Numerically, that's not possible, but most, like, it's going to be very, very different. So, yeah, like I said before, like, I had the 101 in Trade Addicts 2, and I did not earn it. I grabbed it in a dispersal, like, last year. And I already moved back to the 102 and grabbed Terry McLaurin. And I'm trying like hell to keep moving further back, just because, again, the dude I want at 103 probably has a chance of being there at 107, you know, and why not get all of those players I can get from moving back on top? And even like I know Trevor Lawrence is Trevor Lawrence, but I mean, we've seen Joe Burrow, Tua, and then Herbert. We've seen how many quarterbacks got drafted before Lamar? How many quarterbacks got drafted before Mahomes? We don't always draft the best quarterback first. So as long as you're getting a quarterback you feel okay about, in which case, if I can go back to 5-6 and grab Lance and get plenty of people on top of it, I feel super happy about that. So I'm,
by the
I'm
way, on the using side. Those picks to better your team is also an option. Like, you don't, like, you can capitalize on the hype. And I think that's like getting Claypool and 111, I think, is capitalizing on the hype because
100%, yes.
Again, like, it, depending on where you're putting these guys, let's say Ja'Marr Chase is number three on your big board. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me Ja'Marr Chase is going to have do what Claypool did last year? No, because it doesn't. It just doesn't happen. And 111, again,
Chase is going to have a four touchdown game guaranteed. Okay. Or is it three touchdowns?
Okay, but that's not the point. Or, the point being that they have a top 24. Season as a wide receiver as in year one, and 111 could end up being like you said, somebody like Rondale Moore or Devonta Smith, who had, or here's one, Waddle, who it seems like a lot of coaches and GMs are kind of drooling over. But
yeah, I've been reading that lately, that NFL GMs are starting to like him a lot more than the fantasy world seems to like him.
Right. So it's just, to me, you have a little bit more risk in terms of those wide receivers, but I think they have just as high of a ceiling as right at this point, they have just as high of a ceiling than they than as Chase. So get Claypool, who is already produced, and 111, and get two legit wide receivers for the price of one. I mean, look at it that way.
Real quick, we just need to say hi to the other Nick Martinez that just showed up.
Okay. Hi, Nick. I think you guys convinced me. I was actually, when I first looked at this, sort of leaning towards the 103 side. But the more I heard you talk about it, I'm not even the biggest Claypool guy, probably because of my Deontay love. But
I love Deontay too, by the way. Yeah. I'm not a big Claypool guy. I love Deontay, and I think this year it's Deontay. But Claypool is a guy who doesn't need targets to produce.
Yeah. We saw the two of them.
We saw it with Martavis Bryant.
Yeah.
We saw it with Martavis Bryant in the same offense. That
Team Clem's a big receiver.
But just produced because he was able to get past cornerbacks and score touchdowns. And that's right. All Claypool needs to really do. So it's just people need to start being more objective about these picks, because you need to realize every year it's just this hype grows up until the draft, and then you start to get realistic expectations, maybe.
Yeah, and I was going to say, too, part of the reason I was thinking the 103 is because of the quarterback. Even though I'm not the quarterback guy, the 103 could definitely, you know, is likely going to be a quarterback in a lot of leagues, and you can sell them and all that. But I also think that 111 could be a quarterback. If Trey Lance
very easily could.
Somewhere, yeah, Mac Jones, depending on where they land. Everyone keeps saying, you even mentioned it earlier in the pod, that we could see four or five in the first five picks. But I guarantee you there's still going to be at least one of these guys that drops later because of where he lands, because people don't like Mac Jones as much. There's going to be – I think Lance, if he lands in a spot where we don't think he's going to start all year, and Mac Jones, just because a lot of people don't like him, I think both of them are going to fall later in the first than some people are saying.
Let's be real. We're all very finicky about players and where they land. Like,
yes.
CH, just the hype with CH was so bananas last year.
And every year we say we're not going to do it again this year, and we do.
But he wasn't a top four running back before that.
No,
he was not anybody's
top four, or even probably top five. You had JT Dobbins.
Swift.
And Akers. And then you probably had like Zach Moss there too, and like that, like
he went CH from wasn't there, to
and
then he
lands with the Chiefs, and it's like, oh my god, and it's like, oh wait, but they don't really run the ball that much with Patrick Mahomes,
and they don't throw the ball at all to the running backs. Yeah. He was still my 104, like he was my 104, 105, because I still put the two quarterbacks above him. JT was still on top of him, and if I didn't just hate the Lions front office, which.
But so just to finish that story though, or another example is Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones landed with the Giants, and for some reason, like he was drafted at 104, but for some reason nobody wanted to pick him until like
the end of the first, beginning the end of the
first. And it was just like, he's a starting running quarterback. Like you can't. So that's like, it's always pretty funny to see two opposite ends of that, where it's just like, so on one end you have CEH who jumped because of the landing spot, but Daniel Jones, despite like a landing spot where he's going to start, ends up in the back end of the first, even in super flex leagues.
Yeah. The Daniel Jones things, I think, the vitriol of actual Giants fans bled into his fantasy value before rookie drafts. Like, because where he was drafted in the NFL draft got people so up in arms that they're like, he's just going to bust because of the value of that pick that they took him at. So I'm just not going to draft him at all. And clearly that was silly. All right. But okay. We are going to actually go to listener questions, because we have a ton more trades.
Sorry. Sorry, I've been talking a lot. I can go
never,
faster.
Never apologize for talking, Stompy. That's why you're here.
No, let's go through those trades. I want to answer these trades.
No, we'll do the listener questions, then we'll go back to the trades.
Okay. All right, fine.
This is going to be a three-hour show, by the way.
No, it's
part
not.
One,
gotta,
part
I gotta,
two.
I got to be done here in like half an hour. So no,
oh, let's go fast. Let's go fast. Okay, first question from at MellowVader916. Hey, Mellow. Shout out Trade Addicts 2. Football. What should we talk about? Football card breaks and his favorites and hot streaks. How do I win SFB this year? And Jalen Hurts, why is he in on Hurts? Okay, so let's start with the actual football part of this. Jalen Hurts, why are you in on Jalen Hurts?
Because he can run.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is, right? Like,
so yeah, I mean, and I wasn't at the forefront of this, but I was pretty early on these running quarterbacks. Like, I was super high on Lamar Jackson, obviously. Jalen Hurts was my guy in this draft because of that. These guys have just like a built-in floor at, yep, with their rushing floor. So you have a high floor and high ceiling because of that. And if Jalen Hurts becomes a better passer, even or passes like he can, like I know he can, and he get if he, I guess let me start over. If the Eagles don't fuck this up,
oh, the Eagles will fuck this up.
So here's the thing: like, I get the motivation factor, like I get it. We've seen it before, like guys. Jump at the opportunity or like take advantage or whatever. The only way that we're going to have a quarterback competition in training camp works is if they draft a quarterback at six.
There's no one on the
Joe. Show. If you're going to try and make a competition with Joe Flacco, like get out of here. That's wild to me. Because no point gives you a better chance to win than Jalen Hurts does.
Well, this coach is playing rock, paper, scissors with the potential draftees. So I don't know what's going on there.
But here's the thing. It's draft like interviews we've seen it year thing. After year that these quarterbacks are successful. Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray. Carson Wentz was successful when he was running the RPO. Josh Allen, Dak Prescott. Like these are the
elite
quarterbacks in the NFL right now. Shut up with Trey Lance, even though he has a higher rushing ceiling than everybody. I actually don't mind Trey Lance. I just, he's so raw. Like,
yes, he needs time.
He has that 1 year of elite quarterback play, and I'm just like, but it was against.
Which is like why I'm fine. That's why I want him to go to like Atlanta.
Yeah,
like give him the year and a half behind Matt Ryan.
Perfect landing spot for him too. Anyway, so. Jalen Hurts, I mean, I don't know what else he has to prove to anybody. And you can say, okay, well, he's not a pocket passer. You're right. Neither is Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson's still a decent passer, and that's all he needs to be a good quarterback.
Well, I still think Hurts has to prove he can pass the ball. I mean, he had like
I agree, but let's not put it like out there that he is like this terrible passer. He like I understand he didn't look great last year. Neither did Lamar Jackson in his rookie year. But give him the chance, give him weapons, and give him the chance to work as the starting quarterback in the offseason for a full offseason with these weapons, with Jalen Reagor, with Dallas Goedert, with hopefully Jamar Chase or
Jalen Waddle.
Jalen Waddle. It's not going to be Chase. They're at 12 now, so.
Yeah, it'll probably be Smith or Waddle.
Yeah. Smith or Waddle, yeah.
If it's Waddle, I love it.
Yes.
But give him a chance because, that rushing floor, and it just being a rushing QB, that the fact that rushing skill set throws teams for and fits on defense. Like, it's hard to plan for that. And it's a weapon that they should utilize. And if you're really gonna look at it, Jalen Hurts versus Joe Flacco, you couldn't pick two opposite quarterbacks. By the way, Jalen Hurts in college was a great passer. Yes. He's not a bad passer. I don't understand this nonsense about him not being a good passer. And it's the same with Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson did the exact same thing, and for some reason, well,
there's a good reason.
Yep. I'm going to stop because that rant is just – it's going to go in places I don't want
that to. We don't have time for. Let's go on to –
here's the thing, though. Lamar Jackson had back-to-back seasons of over 3,000 yards passing and 1,000 yards rushing in college. Jalen Hurts didn't, though he was in the transfer portal, mind you, but he also produced a near 4,000-yard passing season and a 1,000, over 1,200 yards rushing. And by the way, that was 69% completion percentage and 72% completion percentage the year before. So I just don't, there's no reason in my head not to support Jalen Hurts at this point. Like, I don't know what the Eagles are doing, but we have found out this offseason they are an extremely poorly run franchise.
I was going to say, yes, that's my biggest worry, especially being close to this, that this is going to be a total shit show this year. And I don't trust Sirianni, and the weapons aren't that great, especially if they don't get Waddle or Smith at 12. And if they go, what, like 4-13 or something like that, they got three firsts next year. I can see the scenario where I can see the scenario where Hurts is great for fantasy this year, but if he doesn't put up the passing numbers and they win four games, they're like, we're gonna move on. We're gonna use these three firsts to get a quarterback either in draft or some other way.
So yeah, there's a lot of assumptions that go in with Hurts. It's rational coaching that, like, you just you have to assume rational coaching wherever they go, and it's you cannot put or factor in irrational coaching because you can't tell me who is and who isn't going to be an idiot at any given point. But so yeah, you have to assume rational coaching, and you have to assume that they actually build something around Hurts for him to be successful. But I am thinking that he can be a Lamar Jackson-esque type player.
Yeah. Hey, that was easy. I mean, you could have just said he runs and then we could have moved on, but I love listening to you talk.
Well, doesn't.
I love you. All right. So I'm going to do shameless plug moment and talk about football cards for a second, because my friend and I started a box breaking company, TKO Breaks. We are on Twitter at TKO_breaks. If you're into football cards, which I don't know if it's fortunately or unfortunately got Stompy back into.
I don't know either.
Yeah, but it's so much fun. Check us out on Twitter. We're, you know, putting on a lot of the stuff that we are, boxes we're breaking open. I'm not going to waste this podcast time with what all of that stuff is, but oh man, Stompy is on such a heater right now, just pulling beautiful, beautiful cards. And that is why Mello brought it up.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to talk about because you just can't, like, you have to be involved to know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
But like, obviously Justin Herbert is going to be a popular player because he's rookie of the year. And I just hit one of his cards that has a patch. Like, so they'll put memorabilia or patches in there, part of a jersey. And it was a four color. So it has a number, part of a number patch too. So, and it's worth like $500+ or something like that. It's pretty wild. So,
yeah. And the one thing I will say is, if you're big into Dynasty and it's a Dynasty value and stuff like that, you kind of get the value of cards. Because that was the first thing someone asked me, is like, how do I value these cards? Like, how do I know who to go for? Who do you think is going to hit big in Dynasty next year? The first person I went nuts after is Jalen Reagor, because his cards are real cheap right now because he didn't do great. And next year, I think he's going to do awesome. So I went nuts buying him. And, you know, Cortland Sutton, because no one remembers how awesome he is and stuff like that. But so that's, again, it ties in a little bit, but we're not going to spend this podcast.
But yes, I am on a complete heater right now, and it's be awesome. But I also spend big bucks too. So
yes. But speaking of TKO, another one of our guys at Maddie Big Chest, also shout out TA9, DeAndre Swift or J.K. Dobbins?
I know Stompy's answer.
it's Dobbins for me. It's not close.
What about you, Rock? Swift, and it's not close.
I understand it. Yeah. It's just that the teams, like, it's so bad for the Lions. And Goff is not a good quarterback. And it's just for PPR, like, I think it'll be close. I just think that Dobbins is so much safer because he's definitely gonna run for 1,000 yards. And he's probably gonna get double digit touchdowns. He had 9 touchdowns last season, and there's no reason to think that his touchdown percentage is going to go down because Mark Ingram the year before had 16 touchdowns. So
yeah.
They were a much better offense overall that year, though.
Yeah, but I also think they are going to be a little better coming into this year. They grew stale, and I don't think you...
Well, I think Watkins brings another dynamic wide receiver, and I think they will probably...
I love how many Clemson wide receivers we're talking about this
season. I hope they will draft a wide receiver as well. But, like, let's not sleep on Devin DuVernay, and Hollywood Brown is still there. And for some reason, Hollywood Brown's value is just... way
nothing.
Down this year.
Nothing.
And if they draft one, watch his value tank too.
And go buy yes. him if that's
yeah.
it. Well, I mean, we're not going to take time talking about Marcus Brown.
Sorry.
Yeah.
So for me, it's a better offense that's going to score a lot and versus a bad offense that probably isn't going to score a lot. And Jared Goff is a bad quarterback. And so it's kind of, maybe it's the range of outcomes for me for Swift where it's like he could have an awful year, but he could have a great year because he's just going to get dumped down passes. For me, it's like my range of options for Dobbins is more sure, I suppose.
And yeah. Swift, you again have to assume rational coaching, unlike last year where AP right. was getting 10, 12, 13 carries a game.
While I don't buy into this, Jamal Williams is there and Jamal Williams is going to take some touches. But I don't buy into, okay, Jamal Williams is this like huge hindrance. I just, he will cap.
But I mean, you don't want your guy getting 100% of touches. I mean,
no.
Look at CMC. Yes, you do.
It broke him down sooner or later.
2 years later.
Yeah, that's fine.
And then you're going to get him back again for another year. So
I don't know. But okay, so when I saw this, I'm like, oh, easy, Swift. And then my brain did the same exact thing Stompy did. Where it's just like, oh man, that Lions team. Oh man, that Lions team. Mm-hmm. Okay, I get that being on the Ravens really caps his pass catching upside. But
by the way, that doesn't mean that he's not going to catch passes. Like 30 receptions is very much in the realm of possibility.
Is what it comes down to.
But yes, he will not get 8. He will not have the way that he becomes a top 5 option this year is 15 plus touchdowns.
Touchdowns. Yeah.
I think Stompy nailed it and that Dobbins definitely has the higher floor.
Yes, but, and that's really where I was leaning.
Swift could catch like 80 passes this year, I think.
Oh, he absolutely could. But
and that PPR upside is just really appealing to me.
And I get that. And it's weird for me because usually I'm a PPR guy, but like I'm about the pass catchers, but like two of my guys right now, Nick Chubb and and J.K. Dobbins just aren't the pass. I mean, they can catch passes if they were used that way.
Yeah, their team just doesn't want to do it.
But I know that Chubb is a top 12 running back basically regardless, and I feel the same way about Dobbins at this point. So, again, you need to cut me off and just be like one word answer.
No. Dobbins or Swift. No, that's
BJ Mike. The one word answer
on here. Yeah, and how does that work out for J Mike?
I know.
Okay, next question. Oh, hey, one of the Nick Martinez's at Nick Martinez BR TH
and
Jamar Chase.
You broke out or broke up there for a second. Say it again.
Who is your favorite rookie wide receiver besides Jamar Chase? This one we could do quick because we've talked about rookie wide receivers a lot. Hit us with your later, guys.
I think Rashad Bateman of the elite type and Nico Collins of like my back end guys. Because if you look at this class is extremely disappointing after their pro days. Like extremely disappointing because they're all so small and so light. Rashad Bateman is the only one of the top end besides Jamar Chase that has like a big frame that will be able to take a pounding in the NFL.
Diami
Brown's another one that I heard something on player or the Roto Underworld, I think yesterday or a couple days ago, that Diami Brown, like, and I think it was from Curtis Patrick maybe, but Diami Brown had just like, led the league or led I can't remember exactly, but basically he had over 50 catches and over 20 yards per reception, and is like the only guy in this group of wide receivers to do that or something like that in back-to-back seasons. So
I'll take it.
I can't remember. You would have to go back and listen to it. I'm sure I just butchered it, but it was a great point.
It sounds good, so I'll let it stand as it is.
But and then I said Nico Collins too, because he's so athletic. He's Donovan Peoples-Jones 2.0, really, because he was on the same, literally on the same team at mm-hmm. Michigan. So, and we know Donovan Peoples-Jones had some significant catches last year. So I just, those athletic freaks that like are going late, I love to take swings on.
Yep. And Stompy basically stole my early guy and my late guy. So I'll go a mid-tier guy that I really like is Elijah Moore. I would really love to get him in the early to mid-second. I just think he could have a major upside.
My late guy is Seth Williams. That's another guy too. Like, he was such a big deal in Devy like 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And then he had a bad year or whatever. It's the same thing with like Chuba Hubbard. Like, Chuba was going to be a first rounder 2 years ago. Kylan Hill. Like, it's like they decide to stay back or whatever, and they have like half a bad season, and especially this year of all seasons, whatever.
Kylan Hill was so hyped at the beginning of the year, especially when Mike Leach got down there from Washington State, and then all of a sudden he's like dead to the world, even though he had 23 receptions in 3 games.
Okay, let's keep going. Next question at Matt Price FF. Not sure.
Who's that guy?
Yeah, I don't know who that guy is. What would you something like that. What would you realistically pay in rookie picks for Deshaun Watson right now?
Oh boy, this was I don't know if you heard Superflex Super Show, but we had a long discussion about that.
All right, sum it up in 5 words. Count it out. I would
clearly pay the 2022 first and third for him. That was one of the trades last week. Yeah, or trade at extreme.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. This is such a hard topic to broach because it's just like, it's so serious. It is so serious. And in my mind, and you guys know me as very progressive, very social justice warrior, mm-hmm. but man, if it was me and he was found guilty of even just one sexual assault, he would not play in the NFL again.
You know, he's going to.
I absolutely do. It's just one of those things where it's like right now, I would say probably back in first in Superflex just because of like, it's the rational side of my brain versus the emotional side of my brain where I'm like, he shouldn't be playing anymore.
Yep.
But at the same time, I'm like, this is capitalism and nobody cares about about anything but money. So yeah, I would say, I mean, I'm not going to be trading for him. I won't do it right now because it's just so volatile, but I would say probably fair prices back in 2021 first.
Yeah, I was going to say a lot of the talks I've been seeing lately have been around the 112, like the 112 plus some smaller stuff.
I would say if all of the QBs are gone and like Jamar Chase and Kyle Pitts and Najee Harris are gone, I would say, yeah, probably that at that point.
So you're around like the 109, 10.
109. Area. Yeah, I would start thinking about it just because of this class. I don't love it though.
And that's basically where I'm at too. I mean, I've been saying all along, I get what Stompy's saying, and I get what the people too, who Stompy may be one of those people that just don't want him on their team for moral reasons or whatever. But I kind of separate that, I guess, like compartmentalize. And I know I have no doubt he's going to play again. I don't think he's going to prison or anything. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think he's going to go to prison.
Well, it's a civil suit, so he's not going to prison.
Well there's a criminal complaint, but there hasn't been.
They turned stuff into the Houston PD.
There hasn't been a charge yet, but there is somebody.
Okay. I missed that.
But yeah, I believe I've traded for him, I think, in three leagues, two of them triadic leagues. A couple of them were fairly early on. But I've been doing it with the assumption he will not play in 2021 and that he will play in 2022. And at that point, most of these trades have been
away. I think you have to assume that.
Yeah.
I think you have to assume DeJuan.
And I heard you on the Super Show, and I agree with you what you said, that they do need to throw the book at them. But I think the NFL will rationalize that if they give them a year suspension, they are throwing the book at them.
And
the longest suspension they've given anybody.
Like my recidivist brain, brain says, like, you need to give people a chance that make mistakes. And this has come up a lot recently with, like, that woman who discharged a firearm accidentally and killed a man. Like, it's just one of those things where it's like, what do you even do here?
Yeah, like, but this is with Deshaun Watson.
But the reason I say if he's found – and I say if he's found guilty of one sexual assault, but for me, if – let's say there's multiple here that are true. I don't know how you can justify going, oh yeah, no, he had like four or five sexual assaults, but we're going to give him another chance in the NFL here.
Have you seen him throw the ball? You know, they're going to.
That's my outlook on it.
Yeah.
Should they? No. Will they? Yes, absolutely.
Another thing that you said on the Super Show was about that this is unprecedented in the NFL, but it would also be unprecedented in the NFL for a 26-year-old superstar to be banned for life.
We had talked about that too. It's like, yeah. Okay, we saw it with Ray Josh Rice. Brown, Josh Brown, the New York Giants kicker that was for domestic violence and Ray Rice, who was blackballed from the league. And it's just like, yeah, but those guys were on the – like, one was a kicker that's easily replaceable. Ray Rice is on the back end of his career. And then you can look at, like, instances of, like, Kareem Hunt, which we can get into. I don't want to compare seriousness of things, but regardless, I mean, he was put on the commissioner's exempt list, and then he was playing the next year. And the same with Adrian Peterson with his son. So, I mean, you're not wrong. Like, it's just, maybe it's like, okay, well, I'm seeing the NFL start to maybe wake up a little bit to all of the issues that it has dismissed forever, especially after this last year. But then again, I'm like, well, no, it's capitalism.
And that's what it is. I think a lot of people like yourself and that I've seen talk about this that think he could be done for years. I think they're conflating what should be done with what will be done.
I agree.
If he's convicted of like even just like one, but or even let's say two or three. I mean, if he's committed any of sexual assaults, he deserves whatever you want to say. Even if you want to say he's banned for life, whatever. But that's not what I think is going to happen. So that's why I've been buying him. It's just, I think you're getting him at a discount and he's going to play again and someone's going to own him and it might as well be me. And then I'll obviously sell him because he'll be a high-end quarterback that I can trade down from.
Okay, but let's quickly change subjects. Our last listener question at Fantasy Hockey Trades. His first is actually non-fantasy. What can the 49ers do to become the favorites in the NFC West?
Draft Justin Fields.
Yeah. Yes, that's really the only answer.
Imagine that, though. They have Brandon Ayuk, they have Debo Samuel, you have George Kittle.
Good offensive line.
And a good offensive line, and you put Fields back there that can run? Are you kidding me?
Do either of you guys think they might actually draft Mac Jones?
Yes, 100%.
I do.
That's ridiculous.
And here's the thing. I can't be mad at that either. They're going to compete with Mac Jones because we know what Shanahan can do with mediocre quarterbacks, but we saw what he did with Kirk Cousins too.
I don't disagree, but why not shoot for the home run, especially with all you gave up for that? You did not have to trade three first to get Mac Jones.
But that is you putting your thoughts on Mac Jones into
trying to save their jobs.
But the other thing is the NFL, while I think that you need to, I think mobile quarterbacks are the way to go, though. Mac Jones is not immobile, by the way. They did run a lot of RPO at Alabama. But Mac Jones could be like a Kirk Cousins-esque type of quarterback with a elite defense and very good weapons. That is a contender in the NFC.
I also think he could be a Jimmy Garoppolo-esque quarterback.
I mean, very easily could, but the thing
is,
he's
more talented. Let me just put it that way.
Jimmy, what did Jimmy G do in college?
Nothing.
Yeah. He
looks pretty.
That's the other thing is like.
That's what's important. Just like
it was improbable for Jimmy G to do anything in the NFL in the first place. Yeah. Much like it was improbable for Tom Brady to do anything in the NFL.
True. But like imagine if Jones was drafted by.
Mac Jones has an elite season, NFL or college season under his belt, and is considered an elite quarterback prospect at this point in time. So this is one of those other aspects where it's like, yeah, we're looking at it in terms of a fantasy outlook, but the NFL outlook might maybe there's a lot more questions about whether Justin Fields is actually ready to lead a team versus Mac Jones.
All right, so I'm going to say something as a Seahawks fan. I think the Seahawks are the worst team in the NFC West, like easily. With the Rams getting Stafford, if their defense stays at, like they've stayed together, if they play as well as they did last year,
I can't say it to Russ because of Russ.
Okay, that team, the Seahawks, their defense is trash. Their offense is. Good.
But it's Russ. This is one of those things.
See, like, no,
Russ
see, here's the problem.
He is the best quarterback in the division.
Russ
is the problem.
No,
Russ, and okay, just let me finish because
this is such a sour, like Seahawks bullshit take.
100%. I'm a spoiled a-hole. Russ Wilson is so goddamn good. He is worth like 8 wins. To an NFL team, which means the Seahawks will never be bad, which means they'll never be able to do anything.
Yeah, no, that's not, no. That's not Russ's fault.
100%, he's too good.
I thought that front office was supposed to be one of the best in the NFL. What happened to John Schneider?
I don't know. He got awful. It's funny, like, they're riding their coattails of the Legion of Boom, and it's been far too long, and they haven't done anything good since, so, short of drafting DK Metcalf.
But I consider Russ in this elite group that, like, regardless of the team around them, they can carry them to the playoffs.
100%.
And that's Tom Brady, that's Russ, that's Aaron Rodgers, and Patrick Mahomes, probably. Mm-hmm. Right now, it's probably those four that you're like, these guys, regardless of who you put around them, are going to make those players better and carry them to the playoffs. Now, they just need – I mean, they have been so atrocious at drafting defense.
Anyone.
Yes, that's right, because they did take
Rashad Penny,
that's right.
And then
but DK, year after I, that – Listen, they do have DK, but you're right. It's not great. But again, with Russ, like, I can't say they're the worst in the division.
Teams are solid on both sides and great.
You
can't
say that for the Cardinals defense. You don't have any idea if they're going to be good. They have an old JJ Watt. Patrick Peterson's old. Chandler Jones is old.
Yeah, but he still gets to the quarterback.
Kind of.
I still think they're good enough compared to what the Seahawks defense is, and the Cardinals offense is better than the Seahawks defense.
But Russ is the best quarterback in that division.
Russ is, yes, absolutely. 100%. But still,
like, that's my thing. It's like, I don't think they're the worst. They're the worst built team, but I'm not going to say they're the worst in that division because of Russ.
All right. So we're going to jump off the semantics the answer is draft Justin Fields, and they already jumped close to the top because I think
It's draft Justin Fields just because of ceiling. I think Mac Jones could actually help them win that division.
It's the only thing I would be worried about is if you fall into the situation again where a couple of the defensive players, because clearly I can't say defenseman without getting yelled at that I'm talking hockey, defensive players get hurt and you or fall behind in a game and you have to worry about Jimmy Garoppolo throwing the ball to try and win the game.
Again, you're comparing an elite quarterback prospect to Jimmy Garoppolo.
I know. Imagine if Garoppolo was not drafted by the Patriots. We would never have said his name.
Like, it's so ridiculous to me that it's taken this long to say Jimmy Garoppolo isn't good. I said that 2 years ago when Nick Mullins literally produced the same line as Jimmy G.
Oh, 100%. I know. But, like,
You're saying, and I would say this is, again, I think to say it's DeAndre Swift versus J.K. Dobbins. The outcome of Mac Jones is that he will likely be an above-average quarterback in the NFL.
Okay.
But his range of outcomes is pretty small.
Yes.
Justin Fields is much larger. His ceiling is higher, but his floor is also lower.
Yes.
So, while I think Justin Fields will ultimately make the 49ers the best team in the NFC West, I still think that Mac Jones makes them a legit NFC West contender.
So draft a quarterback at 3 is the answer.
Yeah, but if they want to be the best, I think it's got to be Justin Fields.
Let's move on to the second part of his question. In a Superflex tight end premium league and having no immediate need for a quarterback, who are you taking with the 103 in rookie drafts, and why is it Kyle Pitts? I'm going to say one thing. You don't draft for need anyway. So just take that out. So
I just,
you draft the most valuable quarterback and move on. Unless Najee lands in Pittsburgh, in which case
this is why you trade 103.
I mean, 102, sorry. Yeah. 100%.
Claypool and 111.
For the Claypool and 111.
I understand that Kyle Pitts is an elite prospect. I also understand that last year, well, maybe it wasn't last year wasn't great, but 2 years ago, Noah Fant and Hockenson were elite NFL prospects.
So was O.J. Howard, David Njoku, and Evan Engram.
I will say, though, none of them were talked about the way Kyle, not even Hockenson was talked about the way Kyle Pitts is this year.
Fant started to be, but then Hawk came on and that sort of faded a little bit.
We've seen these elite prospects before. I don't like, okay, fine, whatever chatter, but it's not like Kyle Pitts is just this one in a million guy. Noah Fant is literally more athletic than Kyle Pitts. Albert Ogwegbunam is literally more athletic than Noah Fant and therefore Kyle Pitts. And I understand you have to talk about production. I agree. Noah Fant and Albert O are both elite producers in college.
Irv Smith, baby.
Irv Smith was too. Like, it's just, I'm not saying that he's not going to be great. And I think that, like, outside of Pitts or outside of Lawrence, he is the next sure thing. Just maybe not so sure in year one.
The only thing
I've heard it. I mean, there is a good argument, and John Bosch actually made this argument that
I'll stop talking.
You're just not going to lose the value.
Yep.
Like, tight ends are going to lose value.
That's exactly what I was
going to
say.
Especially if they're that elite. And I think I agree. But I'm so tired of the nonsense of Kyle Pitts is a once in a lifetime, once in a generation. He's not. We do this almost every year with tight ends. We did it with Mike Gesicki. Like, it's just every year.
The people that are the once in a lifetime tight ends in the NFL, when was the last one that produced like that? That we thought was going to be that.
Yeah, like, that's the thing. What was Kittle was drafted in the third? Is that right?
Drafts. I don't remember the NFL, but he was drafted in the third.
He was drafted in the fifth. I think he was even lower than the third, of the NFL.
No one thought that of Travis Kelce. Darren Waller was there.
He was drafted in the fifth round, and he's arguably the best tight end in the game right now. Same with Travis Kelce. Where, I mean, Travis Kelce wasn't an elite prospect.
I will say, I think Hock is on his way there. And
he's the first one in my.
I just looked it up, and TA3 scoring, he was tight end 3 last year.
That's the first one in my like mind where I'm like, yeah, this was one of the hyped tight end prospects that is like legitimate to the hype. Like he's met that hype.
Yeah, if you if you watched on YouTube, there's the DLF trade show with me and Addison. Addison 100% talked me into TJ Hockenson. Like, not that I was out on him, but more being aggressive towards going and trying to get him on my team.
Travis Kelce was drafted in 3rd.
That's higher
than Darren Waller wasn't even drafted
as
a tight end.
That doesn't count. Yeah.
What do you mean that doesn't count? He's a tight end now. The point was, these aren't elite prospects that are leading the NFL.
I mean, what we have... I'm not a Mark Andrews guy, just not ever gonna happen, but he was drafted in 2nd. I think that's the closest we have to,
but he wasn't like hyped like that, like and most of his hype died because he was 2nd to Hayden Hurst.
They drafted
but like we're talking about these elite tight end prospects that have been super producers in college.
Yeah, but I guess
of course they are, because they are bigger than and faster than anybody that covers them, but that doesn't necessarily equate to NFL success, and
that's just going
to
keep happening more and more as time goes on. We're like, human beings are getting larger and faster, so this is going to be less and less of an anomaly when it keeps happening.
Yeah, and here's the thing though with Kyle Pitts is like, is he going to be a guy who is going to be a top 5, top 12 tight end in the first 2 years? No, then I'm probably not gonna I don't want him.
Let's look at the tight end, but
like I just said, Hawk did it year two. You don't think Pitts can do it year two?
I don't know where he's going.
Well, yeah, that's true, obviously. So, yeah.
He very easily could, but it's just like,
it's hard to project any tight end to do it year one.
Yeah, like that's just one of those things where I'm like, think of those elite tight ends that have actually like been great producers in the NFL, the elite tight ends coming out, and Gesicki took a step year two. Fant took a step year two too, but it wasn't in Hockenson. But like, there's a lot of guys where you're just like, was it worth taking an elite tight end that early?
And one of the few guys who did it year one has trailed off ever since, in Evan Engram.
And his was due to circumstance, though.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, so let's try and answer the question a little differently. So who are your top three? You sort of answered the second half. Who's your top three non-quarterback players?
I think it's Najee, Chase, and Pitts.
Yeah, I'm in the same spot. Najee's my RB1. Obviously, everybody has Chase Pitts pretty much at the top.
And by the way, me ranking them like that, it's not hypocritical for me to do that, because those are elite prospects. I don't love taking wide receivers and tight ends and rookie drafts. I never have.
The draft, the mock on mock on mock and on mock on mock on mock on mock draft that we're doing right now, it has, hold on, I have to remember this, Najee Harris going to Miami and Travis Etienne going to Pittsburgh. So I honestly, regardless of where Pitts goes,
I would still want Najee in Miami over Etienne.
Najee Harris in Miami on an up and coming offense. Ugh, God, that's gonna be. He's gonna score double digit touchdown.
Yeah, I
put Etienne over Pitts with a landing spot of Pittsburgh.
Okay, I'd probably still want Pitts. He's got that superstar potential.
Yeah. I'm still. If it's like that, where it's like, okay, Etienne is going 105 and Pitts is 104. Anyway,
I got to be honest. Like, Pitts to me is like the 109. I don't want to draft him. That's really what it comes down to. So I keep pushing him back.
His value is so hyped, right? Like, it's so crazy because everybody's like, oh, he's going to be a monster producer.
This is right up your alley. You could sell Pitts for ATM plus.
Well, that's what, yeah, exactly. But like, that's what I said before. Just sell Pitts for Hawk Plus. I mean, let's just do it. I mean, I'd rather do that when the pick's on the block.
Which is why you should draft him higher, though.
That's why I'll just sell my pick saying, hey, go Garrett Pitts, because I'm going to take him if you don't. And then someone's going to call my bluff and I'm not going to draft him.
I know. Especially since you've announced it multiple times that he's your 109.
Stupid podcast. I gotta stop doing this, but I like this. This is fun. Okay, so that's our listener questions. So are you still good for a little bit, Stomp?
Yep.
All right, cool. So let's go back to trades before you have to leave, because we ran away from those. So let's move away from picks for a second and let's talk about Trade Addicts 8, because we have a couple in here. While there are picks involved, there are old people as well. The first one, Tom Brady for the 310, 503, and 222 seconds.
Guess who made this trade?
I'm very convinced that Tom Brady is going to play until he's like 50.
Yeah, this is like the rockiest trade ever.
And what the hell are you going to get with those late round picks?
It's sort of the Tyler Karpis trade ever too.
Like we know for sure Tom Brady's playing seconds. This year, and he's going to put up a QB1 season. Like we know yes. that for sure. Literally nothing beyond those or any of those picks mean anything.
Yeah, I would. I get doing that if you don't want Tom Brady on your team. Getting future seconds is probably the best thing you can get out of it. But yeah, Tom Brady getting the
points. Yeah, I would have rather traded like a 2022 second for him then, or I would have rather gotten a 2022 second.
Yeah, that was easy for it. This is you like you said, Russ. This is what I do. So, yep. And 310 and 503 mean absolutely nothing to me. The 222 seconds, we kind of bartered back and forth on what we're going to do. There was a 23 second involved in one point. I tried to take seconds out, but yeah, it was a pretty easy call for me.
I'm pretty sure Tom Brady takes part of like that taking youthful blood and putting it in his own body.
Him and Frank Gore have a meeting every month. That
they steal the souls of the young.
He sanguinates the youth to consume their blood.
Exactly.
Oh, man, I wish I saw this before when we were talking about him. Laviska Shenault for Antonio Brown and a 22 first.
Laviska Shenault.
Yeah.
I thought Antonio Brown was a free agent.
He is. I think it was just like a, maybe like a roster limit thing where they're just like, all right, I need to get rid of someone, so just take Antonio Brown. But yeah, so
he traded for Laviska, so that doesn't make any sense.
He traded a 22 first for Laviska. I mean, take Antonio Brown out of it. It doesn't really matter.
I would still rather have Laviska. 2022 is setting up to be just a trash.
Yeah. That's what I keep hearing.
Like there's an elite like Bijan Robinson, and then there's nothing.
Max Borgi. I just remember.
I do Kane. Like Max Borgi.
I honestly know nothing about Max Borgi except for I love hearing Kane say the name.
Is Breece Hall 22 or is he 23?
I have no idea.
Oh, maybe it was Bijan Robinson and Breece Hall were the like top. Yeah,
that sounds right.
That is terrible.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. Yeah.
Trade for 2023 picks, by the way. That running back class is going to be a monster.
Yeah, that's what I keep hearing. But we're not going to talk about that. We're going to do a trade with no picks. All right, get ready. This is a 3-for-3 trade. Justin Herbert, KJ Hamler, and Christian Kirk for Aaron Rodgers, Chris Godwin, and Robbie Anderson.
Do you really have to ask my opinion on this one? Do you not know what I'm going to say?
Well, since Herbie, I got settled with Herbert because of you.
Herbert, who and who?
Herbert, KJ Hamler, and Christian Kirk for...
I don't want to say this just because it's ammunition for Hogue, but it's the Aaron Rodgers side. Like you get two elite weapons, and then Robbie Anderson, who led the Panthers in targets last season. Like you get Christian Kirk, who I like, but KJ Hamler is the fourth option at best on that team, maybe fifth behind like Tim Patrick,
Albert O, baby.
So yeah, this is a no brainer to me because Rodgers is still. I have to have deep breaths here. Rodgers is still elite, and he probably will be for at least a few more seasons. It looks like, unless he has a Peyton Manning-esque fall. But regardless of if he does, you end up with Godwin and Robbie Anderson.
I'm with Stompy here. You're basically paying a humongous age tax. I don't care about Hamler and Kirk at all, and Rodgers could do just as well as Herbert for the next couple of years. So, and I think Robbie Anderson is being severely undervalued.
I believe in Christian Kirk. Let me put the okay. Well, let's put everything. No,
I
do out too. On the table.
Like I like
this was
him
my
in
trade. I traded away Justin Herbert, and I got Aaron Rodgers side. Well, and I only got part, like, Herbert because this jerk
this
gave
is
him
the
to me.
Perfect time to do it because
that was the Twitter thing.
Yeah. How like, I mean, being in cards, Russ, you and I both know like how hyped up Justin Herbert is right now.
Base Justin and Herbert cards are $50.
You can't, like, I understand that he probably, you have to put him up there, but to me, he's not a top five dynasty QB right now. And he's being treated as such. Yep. And I would rather get the more players in equivalent QB play.
Exactly.
Bet, like, you get, you, this team got better because of the wide receivers. You're probably getting equivalent QB play, maybe better from Rodgers over the next two seasons.
Yeah, and here's my thinking about this. First of all, I accidentally got Herbert because I did the what has been coined the outhouse challenge, where I put all the things on Twitter, and if the other side wins the Twitter poll, I accept the trade. And Rocky ended up giving me Justin Herbert. And I'm sitting here every time I look at the roster and I'm like, I love the idea of having Justin Herbert on my team. I fought like hell to try and get Herbert last year and couldn't get him. But now that he's on my team, I just want to get the value. And I need him off my team. And what it came down to was finding that team that was kind of in the middle of the road and saying, look, I'm going to give you a direction to take your team. And so I took Aaron Rodgers off, and people, maybe it's because I got to see it live, or because, you know, I live in New Jersey, so the Jets are on TV every single week. When Sam Darnold and Robbie Anderson were healthy playing together, Robbie Anderson was like a 7 for 112 and a touchdown, like almost.
That shouldn't even come into play here to me. Like,
it's not, but it's like
Darnold has not been a good QB, and I don't know if he will be. He does have a connection with Robbie Anderson. The point is that
that's all I care about.
Robbie Anderson put up
good
numbers with.
Yeah, last year he was a top 20 wide receiver with Teddy Bridgewater.
With Teddy B. what do you want me? He's not a good QB either.
No.
At least Darnold probably has a better deep ball than Teddy B. So.
Yes. Okay. So that, I mean, I just, yay, you guys took my thing. that's really all that was. All right, let's drill some fast ones. Evan Engram for the 211.
Engram,
yep.
Yeah. Matt Ryan for the
tight end premium. I don't like that. Should be a no brainer.
Yeah, 1.75 Trey Eddix. Yeah,
I think people are just, you know, no, Engram is nothing at this point. Matt Ryan for the 110 and a 22.4. Okay, so Matt Ryan for the 110.
Ooh, Matt Ryan.
I'm going to say I want Matt Ryan, but I think the pick is probably
it really worth depends.
More. Yeah. It
really depends on where you're at. If you're in a win now, yeah, absolutely, Matt Ryan. If you're not, it's 110.
Gotten Matt Ryan for less this offseason, and, you know, because I'm always getting those old quarterbacks in the offseason. So I would rather have the 110 and try and get more out of that than I can get out.
That's fair. I just, Matt Ryan, like, has Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley and a bad defense. So it's just
to be Kyle Pitts when they draft him at 4.
That would be wonderful. Why not lean in? Like, just be like, okay, we're going to go all in one more time with you and try and win a Super Bowl.
It doesn't matter that our defense is terrible and we don't have a running back. Let's go for it.
What are you talking about? They got Mike Davis, bro. They could also, they could get somebody in the second too.
All right, let's keep going. Oh man, so many people we've talked about. Jimmy Garoppolo and Cam Newton for Jalen Rager and Byron. When was the last time the podcast talked about Byron Pringle? When was the last time that name was said on a fantasy football podcast?
So it's basically Jalen Rager for Cam Newton. So
Jalen for maybe Rager. A quarterback?
Jalen Rager.
Yeah, Jalen Rager. That's kind of the way I feel.
Like, even Rocky's like, wow, what is this goddamn trade?
If
you were going,
either of those. I don't want anybody in this trade.
You're a jaded Eagles fan. I love Rager.
Yeah. You don't like Rager, huh?
He's an Eagles fan. He's supposed to be upset about everything.
I'm like Russ with Seattle. I go the opposite way. I don't do the homer thing. I'm just like,
I like Rager this year.
I also do like Rager, especially like I liked Rager even more when I thought they were getting Chase
and healthy, and he will be fine.
Yes,
I want to get him in the slot.
Yep,
and put Waddle on the outside and whomever else, Jaja or whatever, and.
I'm starting to have doubts they even draft a Waddle or Smith there. I think they're going to do something stupid and draft like.
That's fair. I mean, and if that's the case, if that's what you believe, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. Then you should absolutely just be out on. You want to come over and be a Seahawks fan? It's fine. Maybe
at this point.
Me, you, and Dustin. Let's do it.
Okay.
Let's see what. Okay,
we're just start our own Seahawks spot.
Nice, love it. Okay, ooh, here's a fun one. Lamar and LaVisca for Matt Stafford and Jonathan Taylor.
That's easy, Stafford and Taylor for me. But, you know, that's my thing. I'm trained down a quarterback to upgrade the other positions. I love JT.
Wide receivers, when you're trading running backs for wide receivers, like, JT is so much more valuable than LaVisca.
Yes. But and Lamar so now is so you're much more valuable Lamar than Jackson.
I mean, is he though?
That yeah. Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
You're sure that Lamar Jackson is that much more? Okay, maybe I should maybe Stafford value.
With
maybe,
McVay.
I, maybe I'm looking at it wrong. Value isn't the thing that I'm questioning.
Production, it's yeah.
Production.
Okay, yeah. Okay, then no. Oh, by the way, sup, Larry Monkey? He said hi. He said, well, to be fair, he said, "Yo, what up?"
Yeah, Stafford.
I don't know. Like, I have Lamar on my wall right now. Like, this is hard for me because this is one of those. I think you're gonna have to overpay for one of my favorite players type of things.
Mm-hmm.
But Jonathan Taylor, I just he's set to explode this year.
Yeah. See, Jonathan Taylor was never wavered as my running back one.
And Stafford probably still has 3 or 4 years. It's got to be Stafford.
To me, this is easily
he's
the
got,
Taylor.
He's got 3 or 4 more years with, like, a better team around him.
Mm-hmm.
And you're adding a top 2 running back in terms of dynasty value right now, who is probably going to put up elite numbers this year. That, to me, is the win now move, is you get the close to equivalent points from the quarterback, and JT is going to outproduce LaVisca. I love LaVisca this year. JT is going to double what LaVisca did or does.
Okay, so let's go back to Lamar and picks. Okay, Lamar Jackson and the 311, so Lamar Jackson, for the 102, 210, and a 23 first.
Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, I'm actually on that one too, Lamar Jackson. That seems pretty cheap for Lamar Jackson.
So 102 is Justin Fields in my head, and his ceiling is Lamar Jackson to me. His ceiling is Lamar Jackson's MVP year. Lamar Jackson just has already put up an MVP year, so it's just like Lamar Jackson's a sure thing. Everything else is like when it comes down to elite players, you need to get a player back. You can't settle for 100% picks.
You even forget that. I think you need another first.
But it's not even that though. Like, to me, and you're right. You're right. The value is not there on that side. But the point is, if you're going to trade Lamar Jackson, an elite asset, and he's what, 24, 25?
Something crazy like that, yeah.
So, like, you could get 5 to 10 more years of this type of production. It'll be hard because he's a running quarterback, but you could.
Yeah, he just turned 24 a few months ago.
Like, you need to get, like, to me, you should trade Lamar Jackson for Stafford and a first. Like, that's how you should be doing it. Because you're getting a quarterback. Like, what are you trading there?
Yeah.
Like, what are you trading for there?
And the one first is 2-3 drafts away still at this point. So
yeah, that is such a bad trade.
Sorry, guy in TA9.
Seriously, like, oh, you're talking eight, about eight, a top 5 QB asset versus 102, 210, and what?
23 first. Yeah. Yeah.
What are you doing?
All right, we got 2 more trades, and then I'm going to fall asleep at this desk. Let's. Do you want to do players or picks first, Stompy?
Don't care. Go. Just pick one. Oh. Just go.
All right, so this is an admitted overpay. the 101 and a 23 second for the 102, 113, and a 22 first.
The 102 side, easy.
Yeah, easy. Good Lord. Could, even if you believe that Trevor Lawrence is like the next Andrew Luck, to take one step back to another quarterback who has a potential to be elite and then gain another, an extra first in 2022 and really, I mean, 2.01 with some decent players around there.
And I think Fields is a lot closer to Lawrence than some people are thinking. Like I
terms of fantasy,
1A and 1B. Yeah.
In terms of fantasy football, because of that rushing, Fields could end up being the QB one out of this class in fantasy.
Yep.
All right.
Okay.
Russ is starting to slide out of his chair.
It's true. I even moved my mic so I can kind of pull one of these.
All right. Sorry. Last one.
Miles Sanders, Tariq Cohen, the 106 and 308. Okay. So Miles Sanders and the 106. For J.K. Dobbins, Robert Woods, and the 108.
Oh, it's J.K. Dobbins, Robert Woods, 108. Not close.
I'm with Stompy on there.
That's not even weird. Close to close.
Dobbins is over Sanders.
Okay, so you swapped Sanders and Dobbins and then paid Robert Woods in the 108 for the 106.
Yeah.
Boof. And well, Robert Woods with a competent deep passer.
That's what I've been saying. I've been saying Robert Woods is going to be, because
Bobby Trees is going to be a wide receiver one this year.
I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility to say, because I think he hit the 11 once, right?
Yeah, 11 or 12 once, yeah.
But he's been like top 15 or top 20.
Yeah, other years he's been 14, 15, yeah.
I think Woods is going to be the Galladay-esque, not to say play like Galladay, but like the guy Stafford kind of goes to.
Yes.
Yep.
I think that's going to be Robert Woods, and then I think that's super valuable. But it's freaking midnight, and that's the end of our show sheets. That's the damn end of our show. Before we go, Stompy, why don't you remind everyone who you are, what you do, and I don't know, whatever the hell you feel like reminding people about. You started writing again?
Yep. So find me at StompBearPig on Twitter. That is the new handle. Should be the last handle for a while, hopefully.
Keep the swear words towards people at a minimum.
Well, it's mostly I'm learning what I can and cannot say to people when I argue, and I'm trying to keep all of those naughty words out of it. I did start writing again. I'm writing for Dynasty Nerds. I also have a J.K. Dobbins article that I'm trying to get through RotoViz, so we'll see how that goes. But I also am thinking about writing an Austin Eckler article here. So look out for that. That one will be done very quickly because I have like all of the arguments lined up in my head and you're not going to take me off of them. So
I think I've taken him from you on two separate teams.
Yeah. I mean, so TA6, I swear to God, like I cannot rebuild that team for my life. I have tried for 2 years now to try.
Well, when you have J Mike, who has like 20 of the top 23.
He has. Yeah, it's not even that. I can't trade into the first round because he will not trade those picks.
He will. You're going to have to pay the J Mike round
tax. I'm sitting here and I'm like, I look at this team and I'm like, you know, I can borderline compete here if I make some savvy.
You ain't competing here. You ain't competing here.
Hey, listen, if your guys die.
Was that one of the ones you won this year, Russ?
It is.
I just, like, I can't rebuild because, like, everybody knows what I'm trying to do.
Push for the 23 and then just donate for a couple of years till you hit the 23 draft.
Apparently, that's what I have to do right now.
Because, you know, someone's going to go after all the 22 picks after J Mike did this for the 21.
Yeah, I have a few of those, so I might have to trade back out of.
Well, there you go. Why don't you make it the Stompy round next year?
Because I'm good.
That's true. So start moving those 22s for 23s.
Yep.
All right. Well, our stuff, patreon.com/tradeaddictspod. Man, we said hi to everyone that's been jumping in and out of the chat. And we have the Cool Kids Club, the awesome GroupMe chat on GroupMe. Ready for bed, guys. ffpodshirts.storenv.com. Lots of stuff. T-shirts, mugs, stickers. Every penny that comes in goes to charity. We have another week where every dollar that comes in goes to No Kids Hungry. So buy some stuff, get some awesome stuff, give some food to kids. Because what are you, a monster? You don't want kids to eat? What's wrong with you? God. Well, I already plugged it once, so I'm going to plug it again. At TKO underscore breaks on the Twitters if you're into football cards. Or just, you know, hell, say hi. It's me. And I am Russ Fisher at Dynasty Outhouse. He is Rocky Petrella at Dynasty FF Addict, DLF Family Podcast, Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network. Review, subscribe, rate, I don't know, whatever the hell they tell you to do. Do that for us. Hell, good night, guys. I'm done.
Good night, Russ. Get some sleep.
Love you, Stompy. Now unmute yourself and say you love me again.
Love you. Sorry, I'm new to this podcast.